Penguin Random House Audio presents The Lumumba Plot, The Secret History of the CIA and a Cold War Assassination, by Stuart A. Reed. Read for you by Michael Boatman. To my parents. I have never doubted for a single instant that the sacred cause to which my comrades and I have dedicated our entire lives would triumph in the end. But what we wanted for our country, its right to an honorable life, to perfect dignity, to independence with no restrictions, was never wanted by Belgian colonialism and its Western allies. Patrice Lumumba, Congolese Prime Minister. I am relatively certain that he represented something that the United States government didn't like, but I can't remember anymore what it was. Was he a rightist or leftist? What was wrong with Lumumba? Why didn't we like him? Richard Helms, CIA official. Prologue. The Loose Tooth. Nothing much happens in Meylan, a picturesque village of little over 1,000 people about an hour's drive from Brussels. If the sleepy town has a claim to fame, it is that many of its buildings, farmhouses, the church, and the vicarage, the restaurant, are built from a chalky sandstone unique to the region. The rock, which has been mined from local quarries since the 16th century, lends a cream hue to Gothic cathedrals across Belgium. There is no crime to speak of in Meylan. Cows flap their tails between hedgerows, residents tend to their gardens and ride their bikes to the Saturday farmer's market. On a cold, drizzly Thursday afternoon in January 2016, two investigators from the Federal Police Force in Brussels arrived in Meylan and pulled up to a red brick house on the edge of town, across the street from a furrowed field. The upscale villa in a rural village, as the police later described it in court proceedings, was surrounded by metal fencing. The officers rang the buzzer and were let in through a pointed gate. A petite, fine-featured woman with a ruby-red pixie cut and expressive eyebrows answered the door. Her name was Godeliva Sota, and though born in Belgium, she had spent much of her life in Africa. Her father had been a colonial police officer in the Belgian Congo, and decades later, after the colony's independence, she herself had worked for Belgium's embassy in the country. Now, at age 66, Sota lived a quiet life in Meylan, caring for her horses and her dogs, but she surrounded herself with reminders of her former home. Masks and spears adorned the walls. Cross-shaped ingots from the Congolese copper belt sat on the mantelpiece. The police officers introduced themselves, flashed their badges, and presented a search warrant. Sota grumbled. She had been expecting this visit and was tired of the matter. The events under investigation had taken place when she was just 11, and they were her father's doing, not hers. She knew that someone might show up at her door to punish her for his sins, hence the fencing and the electric gate. Sota, nonetheless, gave the police what they were looking for. From a small, blue, wooden box, she produced a decaying molar capped with a gold crown. In another were a handful of spent bullets. The officers sealed the objects in a plastic bag and left for Brussels. The tooth and the bullets were evidence in a cold case, an investigation into the murder of a man who had been shot to death in the Congo 55 years earlier, almost to the day. Patrice Lumumba did not last long in the limelight. A former postal clerk and beer pitchman in the Belgian Congo, he took the helm as prime minister when, on June 30, 1960, the Congo celebrated its newfound freedom from Belgium after 75 years of colonial rule. Chaos engulfed the new country within days, forcing Lumumba to set aside his governing agenda and focus on survival. He quelled a mutiny in the army, invited in more than 10,000 United Nations peacekeepers, and toured 9 world capitals to lobby for help that would save his fledgling nation. But after just 2.5 months in office, he was ousted in a military coup. 4 months later, he was assassinated. He passed by like a meteor, his daughter Juliana said. For decades, Lumumba's murder remained a mystery. Debates raged over who bore the blame. Suspicion fell, naturally, on the Belgians, who had run their colony with unreserved cruelty before independence and bristled at Lumumba's conception of national autonomy afterward. Others pointed to UN officials who were drawn into a peacekeeping operation of unprecedented scale and cost in the Congo and seemed to have a hand in his downfall and death. Over the years, evidence came out suggesting that Lumumba's suspected susceptibility to communist manipulation had made him a target of the Central Intelligence Agency's covert Cold War machinations in newly decolonized countries, and eventually it was revealed that the CIA, acting on the orders of the White House, had dispatched vials of poison to the Congo in an effort to assassinate Lumumba. But what, ultimately, became of the agency's efforts? What about the man who deposed Lumumba and installed himself as leader? A young army colonel named Joseph Mobutu. And how exactly did Lumumba end up before a firing squad on the night of January 17, 1961, in a remote clearing in the Congolese countryside? This book tries to at last answer these questions, drawing on forgotten testimonies, interviews with participants, diaries, private letters, scholarly histories, official investigations, government archives, unearthed diplomatic cables, and recently declassified CIA files. It finds that the conventional narrative about the rise and fall of Lumumba leaves out much of the story. The book pays particular attention to the role played by the United States, laying bare the questionable motivations, unscrupulous methods, and grave damage of the country's policies. It shows how American officials privately displayed racist contempt for the Congolese, and it reveals that their involvement in the Congo was darker and more extensive than commonly thought, and started earlier than has previously been known. The CIA and its station chief in the Congo, Larry Devlin, had a hand in nearly every major development leading up to Lumumba's murder, from his fall from power to his forceful transfer into rebel-held territory on the day of his death. Uncovering the truth about Lumumba's downfall and murder, and assigning blame, matter not just in the name of Lumumba's memory. For the Congo, the episode marked a turning point, the definitive end of a short-lived democratic experiment, and the beginning of decades of poverty, dictatorship, and war. But the crisis reverberated far beyond the Congo. It claimed the life of the UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld, killed under mysterious circumstances during a peacemaking trip to the Congo months after Lumumba's murder, and it permanently hobbled the organization Hammarskjöld had led. The mission in the Congo came to be viewed as a dangerous misadventure, and the UN never fully recovered from the resulting damage to its global influence and reputation. No future Secretary General would ever come close to equaling Hammarskjöld's diplomatic heft. The crisis in the Congo invigorated leaders in the United States, however. Extensive U.S. meddling carried out by CIA operatives and State Department officials might not have looked so constructive in the streets of the Congo, but in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., it was seen as a smashing success. As the Cold War intensified, America appeared to have stopped a communist takeover in its tracks, and in Joseph Mobutu, who later called himself Mobutu Sese Seko, installed a friendly dictator keen on aligning with the Western Bloc. While officials fretted about a supposed missile gap with the Soviets and the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?